The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word, and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jessica Sterling, I am in mourning. I am
for Darla's death.
So upset for Darla's death. I was like, you know what? I have decided, fuck Buffy and all those other jokes. I am full on Darla and Daddy Vamps. Like, I think I'm just going to go over to the dark side. I'm fine with that. I don't mind being a little evil. That's okay. I got Slytherin on that stupid Pottermore test a few times. I'm good. But Darla's dead, and now what's the point of living, to be honest with you?
Yeah, that's really fair. Really devastating moment here to lose Darla, aka Rita from Dexter. I really liked her as a character, especially finding out everything that's going on between her and Angel. I was like,
that
yes,
was so juicy,
so spicy. We had some major, major reveals this episode. And of course we're not alone, because it is Guestapalooza up in these parts, and we have a guest every episode here for Buffy. And so this week is no different. Today we are trying, I just realized his name on our recording software. We are joined today by someone who is a really big Buffy fan. Really excited to talk about this episode, Kevin Mahadeo. Kevin, how are you?
Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here. Jess, Sarah, ever since you both mentioned this to me, I have been like, I'm going to come on for so many episodes. You asked me which episode this season. I sent you a list of this, like a list for this season and a list for season two, just to get ahead of the curve. And I am happy to be on all of them. I love the show, and I'm so excited that you both have never seen this and are experiencing it for the first time. Mm-hmm. And like, I have to ask, because like, just existing in this world, did you know about the Angel situation?
I had no idea. I think on the podcast insane. That we had even said like, oh, he's an angel, he's gonna sprout wings.
Oh my God, this is
no,
incredible.
We thought that my theory was that he was a guardian angel. Like, I thought
that's literally
a guardian angel, and that there was like some sort of like celestial persuasion for Angel. I did not know that he was a vampire.
I thought, to the point where I thought the scene when we first, when they kiss and then he gets vampire face, literally I thought it was a dream sequence. I was like, oh, she's gonna wake up. Like, I had no idea.
I screamed.
So incredible. I'm so, like, this is so exciting for me to, like, experience this. Because, like, this is something I watched, like, as it was happening. Because I was so into the show and it's so my jam. Like, I'm a vampire lunatic. And, like, this happening, I've known, obviously, since, what, 1998? Mm-hmm. So, like, having something, like, you guys experience it for the first time is so incredible. Because, also, there's just so much you don't know then. Like, there's so many things you don't know. And it's going to be very, very hard for me to not spoil things. So, I'm going to do my best
to not talk about the things that are going to happen.
Oh my gosh. This is
We're really excited to have you on, Kevin, because you were like very, very excited, especially for this episode. It is a very big episode, like not only for the Angel reveal, but it feels like there's a lot of lore that is dropped in this episode as well. We have, like, again, rest in peace, dear Darla. Love her as a character. Really sad to see her gone this early. I don't know, Sarah, I was kind of expecting Darla to be at least around for the full first season, and like maybe we'd lose her in the second season.
I just have no will to live anymore. Yeah, I really just want Daddy Vamps to just take me away.
Take you away, put you in the blood puddle, call it a day.
I want to go into the blood jacuzzi and just drown, to be honest with you.
Drown me, Daddy Vampire.
Drown me, Daddy.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff this episode, and I was shocked by pretty much literally all of it, especially the big name reveal. This felt like when you have a D&D character and you say that your D&D character is one name, and then like it has like a secret longer name. Angel's not just Angel. Kevin, how do you pronounce this name?
It's Angelus.
Angelus.
Which Angelus will be an important name, I will say, as this show continues.
Let's dive right into it. For those who weren't paying attention, I was conspicuously absent last episode. I apologize. I was really not feeling well. I had my first cold since like pre-COVID times, and it hit me like a Mack truck. It was not a fun time. So thank you, Sarah, Tom, and Adam for holding down the fort. Gotta say, of all the episodes to miss, wasn't sad to miss the pack. Didn't like it, didn't care for it, thought it was stupid, hate Xander. That's pretty much all I have to say on that episode.
What do you think about hyenas, though?
I mean, I feel hyenas? Like hyenas had a moment like during the Lion King era. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's they true. Were like capitalizing off of that. But again, don't name your episode The Pack if you're not going to give me werewolves. Okay. Like, can we just all agree to that? If you were like a supernatural show and you're going to name your episode The Pack, maybe throw in a werewolf. You know,
it's too early. That's like episode 5. They can't throw werewolves in.
Yeah, I mean, it's a monster of the week show. Like, it's there had true. A bug lady. Like, we could have had a werewolf, you know.
But that's like it's kind of like you don't bring in Bigfoot. You save it for the like the seventh inning. All you know,
right, well, we better have werewolves maybe season 2 then. But let's get into season 1 episode 7, Angel. And we start off with, we have Daddy Vamps hanging out with little baby Colin, who is his, what the heck do they call him? He's like the chosen one. The anointed. That's right. And like this little kid, he's just like throwing stones. He's still a little kid, I guess. Even though he has been transformed, he reminds me of, this is very like Interview with a Vampire, right, Sarah? Like the Kirsten Dunst character, right? Ooh. Yeah.
This kid's a little fuck already. I'm telling you, he turned into a vampire, and then a week later, he's talking with like a deep voice and is like throwing like rocks at Darla's head. I gotta tell you, this kid's disrespectful. You might be the anointed one, but you're not on the top of the vampire teepee.
Well, no, we know that like Daddy Vamps loved that one guy that got killed early on.
Lucas.
And so now, his fave is Darla, right? And every time he loses one of his favorites, he like mourns the loss of them. Daddy Vamps is very close with all his underlings. And Darla is like, let me kill Buffy for you. Please, please, Daddy, let me kill her for you.
He's a very generous man.
He's so much daddy.
Because he's Daddy Vamps. And he's like, you know what? No. Instead, I'm going to send three bozos who maybe possibly can get the job done. But like, I don't know, Kevin, in my opinion, I feel like Daddy Vamps is doing this all wrong. I feel like you send your strongest out because you're just going to lose these like weak ass minions every time you're sending the, like, you got to send a strong ass woman to get this job done. And these three bozos aren't going to do it.
I mean, yes, but like, he does that and it also goes badly. So I think he was just trying to be like, oh no, I don't want to lose Darla. So he's trying to hold back and he calls these three, called the three, which is, if you're gonna name your group something, I feel like they could have tried a little bit harder than just.
We all know you're never supposed to name it after a number, because if you lose one, then you're the three, the two of you. That's stupid. Yeah. You know,
we're the former three.
Yeah, but meanwhile, Sarah at the Bronze, apparently
I can't.
There is this you would hate this. There's this annual tradition where they kill the cockroaches, and if you bring a roach to the bar, you get a free drink.
This is revolting. Just hire some exterminators. It's fine. Sometimes, I guess it costs like $50 a month, but it gets the job done. This is the worst party that I've ever heard of. Like, how in the world are they getting their patrons to come and kill cockroaches for them? I'm disgusted.
Well, especially because these are non-alcoholic drinks, Kevin. Like, these are, I'm gonna kill a cockroach for like a $2 Coke. Are you kidding?
No, right. That's what I was going to say. Like, the craziest thing about the Bronze, always, for me, like, as a kid, it's obviously just like, this is the coolest thing ever. And then I became an adult, so I'm like, those don't exist. It's like, what is this, like, yes, you know, the very popular underage club that everyone is allowed to go to and everyone in town knows about, and it's just totally fine. Like, absurd premise of a place.
I think that they just serve them underage. I'm thinking, I used to go to a bar when I was a teenager, and they served you underage, and we would just go, and we would go to the bar, and we get served, and we just lived our best lives. The bar now is closed. It no longer is in business. I think it got raided. But I'm telling you, that bar in Jersey back in 2006 was the place to be.
I mean, that's the thing. I guess it would be. So that's why they make money. It's a place to be, even though you're getting.
That's what it is. It's
you have to bring cockroaches in.
This is disgusting. I would rather die. Why is this something that everybody's excited to go to? I am just disgusted. And then, like, there's jelly beans on the table, which is too close to the shape of cockroaches. The whole thing is just very gross. And by the way, we just had a whole ass episode about the bug lady. Why are we on bugs? No more bugs. If it was me, I would say I am anti-bug. No more bugs. We're done.
Doesn't seem to bother like pretty much anybody, at least anybody who's there. Okay,
Maybe I'm a priss. I don't know what to say.
No, I'm with you in that. Like, I don't think I would seek out a place that is offering like a crush a cockroach, get a free drink, because I would be like, I don't want anything you're serving.
Yeah, who knows what's in that thing from everyone squashing cockroaches.
Just some bugs.
Yeah.
Over a bowl of jelly beans, we have girl talk, though.
Yeah, it's okay. It's boy talk time. And Buffy is talking about how, like, ugh, I really like Angel, but he's never around. He only shows up to give, like, cryptic messages. But she says, when he's around, it's like the lights dim everywhere else. Oh, swoon for Angel. And we get like Willow with the like, oh yeah, Xander's so dreamy, and I'm like, shut up, Willow, he's actually not.
I have to ask about this, because like this is like one of the most fascinating pieces of Buffy discourse that goes on, because when I watched the show at the time, and at the time Xander was liked, he was a liked character, and I think he is a character he is such a character of his time period. There was an era where people like me identified a lot with him, and then obviously as cultural awareness shifts and has grown and I've become less of that and more of a better thing, but other people haven't. It has become very aware of what type of person he is and the toxicity of it. So it's really fascinating to see people like you all who are watching it for the first time and being like, Xander sucks! Because, like, at the time, yeah, he was like, oh, man, Xander's so cool. He's just, like, he's a nerdy guy. But, like, you're not wrong. It's just very fascinating to, like, watch yeah. this transition.
He's just not a character that ages well. Like, it's 2024, and his, like, his jealousy, his constant jealousy over Angel doesn't age well. He's, like, very... just like a horny teenage boy, which is fine, but also doesn't always age well depending on like what he's saying. So generally I'm not a fan, especially after last episode, right? Like, to me, those were all of Xander's like feral, gross teenage boy instincts just mm-hmm. coming to the forefront, and it was not attractive.
Yeah, for me, like, any man that looks like he would go to Woodstock 99 is somebody that I do not want to associate with. And I know that Xander would go to Woodstock 99 and start like throwing down merch stands. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to deal with that in my everyday life.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fair assessment. The other thing I was going to ask about, and I'm curious about this because Buffy's line reminded me, I used to joke about this all the time about Angel, where it's like, he just comes in, says something cryptic and pieces out. Do you guys know Tuxedo Mask? Is that a thing?
From Sailor Moon.
Yes. Absolutely, Angel is Tuxedo Mask. Yes. Mind. Like, he yes. just shows up, except yes. instead of wearing a rose down, he's just like, Buffy, such and such and such. I'll see yes. you later. And then he goes.
Okay, yes.
That's his entire shtick. It's so
I
funny.
Loved Sailor Moon when I was younger. And yeah, yeah, like, yep. obviously, Tuxedo Mask was like the It Boy. He was like so yep. hot. Because
it is, I could see how Buffy is frustrated though, because like he literally shows up, says one thing to her, it's always super cryptic, it's never very helpful, and then he just pieces out, and it's like, of course you're gonna be in love with that guy because he's broody and he's mysterious and he's cute.
I mean, I'm in love with him, yeah, like I'm yeah. not gonna lie, like I
unlike
am
Xander
no,
who's always available, he's always around, he's dancing mm-hmm. he's bumping into people, he calls Cordelia a hooker. And I'm just like,
she
okay.
is a hooker.
Oh, Cordelia is pretty mean. At a certain point, you sort of got to be mean yeah. to the mean person, too.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
Yeah, but Buffy is like not having it. She's not feeling well. She's like, all right, I'm going to head out for the night. And so she starts walking down like, you know, deep, dark alleyways. She senses she's being followed, but doesn't see anything until she's confronted with the three vampires who try to like, basically they're overpowering her. There's three of them, you know, but luckily she wasn't wrong. And Angel is there to help out and kind of come to her rescue a little bit. But he gets injured in the process. So Buffy's like, okay, come on, Angel. Let me nurse you back to health.
I love that Buffy is interested in the medical arts. I think that she would make such a good nurse. I would totally dress Angel's wounds, make him feel really good, and just treat him to a great night at my house.
I mean, this is a really good move, Kevin, okay? Because one, we know the vampires cannot enter her abode unless invited, right? So like, this is an easy way to escape them, is going into your own house and then being like, oops, Angel, I guess we're trapped here for the night.
Yeah.
What rule is this, by the way, Kevin? Because like, you can answer yeah. that, but also like, okay, so only invited vampires.
This was a thing in True Blood. Was this a thing in Twilight too?
Twilight, no, but like vampire lore across the board, yes. Like, this is a thing okay. that's been around. There's lots of like stuff about it, like religious connotations and everything, but the lore for vampires can't enter unless invited. And this is something that is in the Buffyverse full canon. If you're a vampire, you cannot enter a house that is owned by a person unless you are invited in. This is a spoiler in the future. There's a hilarious moment where a vampire tries to enter someone's house and they just keep bouncing off a barrier and it's just like, let me in. And it's just very funny.
So then, I remember that happened on True Blood where like they would revoke an invitation and it would look like a big yes. gust of wind was just like pushing them out.
So in my mind, there is no problem. There is no vampire problem then. Just stop inviting people to your house.
Sure, if you want to be a
that
jerk.
Would involve you never leaving your home, though.
Yeah.
Which and I don't do now, but back then I left my house a lot.
They have to go to the Bronze.
They do. They have to go squish some cockroaches at the Bronze.
I will say real quick on that note, though, this will be important. The idea, like in True Blood, it is like you are no longer welcome here is enough to like pull them back out of the room. That is not going to be the case here. Like there are very interesting rules in the Buffyverse about it, but like vampire invitations are a huge, huge thing. Also, by the way, Sarah, to your note about like invite Angel over, let me dress your wounds. Girl, same. Because again,
yeah,
I'm a big Angel fan. I chose this episode because I really, really, really like this character, but also just like lore galore. But yeah, I was like, this is a good one because there's like some good stuff in there.
Yeah. He, we got a gift because he undresses.
Yes, I was going to say, especially because it's like, ooh, is it your rock hard abs that are cut, Angel? Please take your shirt off. And we see very mysterious, like bird looking tattoo right where a wing would normally be. And again, I was like, okay, his name is Angel. He has a bird on his back where a wing would be. Birds have wings. Boom, Angel.
Yeah, I know. I was patting myself on the back. I was like, I'm ready. Like, I am ready to see his halo. I'm just ready. Okay, so she is dressing the wounds. Her mom comes home, and her mom is like, hi, older gentleman, what are you doing here? And I think this is the first time we've acknowledged that Angel does not look 16.
Well, that's never really, the thing is they never said how old Angel is. We literally have no idea what he even does. And we find, like, it makes a lot of sense now that he's only coming around at night, right? Because he can't come out during the day.
The clues but are all there, Mr. Snowman.
Yeah, like, we never knew his age or what he did. But apparently he's older. And Buffy tries to tell her mom, like, oh, he's, like, my tutor. And she's like, well, Buffy, it's a little late for tutoring now, isn't it? And I love this trick from Buffy to pretend to walk Angel out, just open and close the door, and then be like, okay, come on upstairs.
This is so obvious. This is like
very teenager, though.
Yes, this is like the oldest trick in the book. This is like the thing where you're like, okay, I'm going to go upstairs now. And like you like do the steps on the steps, and then you like stop and wait to hear like your parents talking shit about you. Or is that just me? I'm not quite sure. But it happens. It happens. Like you're just like listening in. So is she inviting Angel over for the night because she's worried about her own safety?
No, about his safety.
His safety. Because, like, I was going to say, that's not very Buffy of her to be like,
no, she doesn't want to send him back out because she knows that the three can't enter her home. So he has to stay with her. That way he's kept safe. And I will just say, Kevin, Angel is, in fact, quite the gentleman because, unlike Xander, when Buffy says, turn around while I change, he doesn't sneak a peek in a mirror.
He does not. He is, I mean, to be fair, he is 240 years old, so he has a lot of experience in terms of, like, being a better gentleman. Also, yeah, also, like, he is from a different time period, like, 240 years ago. I will say, I don't know when they officially say it, but the implication isn't that he's faking 16. He technically, again, this is an era where it's just like there's 20-something year olds playing teenagers. Yeah. But canonically, Angel is supposed to be about like 18, 19.
I kind of figured still,
still older if you're a 16-year-old.
I was thinking he was gonna be like 20-ish. So that made sense. That makes sense to me. But this is when we get our first little bit of information about Angel, where we find out that like his entire family is dead. And that they were, and Buffy asks, like, was it from vampires? And he says it was. Sarah,
in a manner
did you,
of speaking.
Yeah. Did you have any inkling at this point that, like, no, I didn't think so either.
When
I just
will you
was,
understand
like...
that I'm stupid as fuck? Like, when will you get that? No, I didn't think that at this point. I thought that, I don't know what I thought. Like, maybe I was like, oh, like, maybe this is how.
Well, it made sense that he fights vampires because the whole vampires killed his whole family, right? Like, that right. all made sense to me.
So, okay, so wait. So he killed his own family, right? Like, he had to have. He turned into a vampire, and then he's like, I'm going to devour my entire family. I love a man who is emotionally damaged.
Sarah,
what's wrong with you?
Sarah, you got, let me tell you, girl, you are in for a ride.
What is wrong with you?
He's an orphan. He killed his own family. He has a tragic past. He's 200 years old. Like, I am seeing no red flags.
He's a vampire.
That's a different vampire. Oh, he's a different type of vampire.
He is a different type. Yes. But he does. And this was interesting to me because, like, Angel, again, is so broody and so, like, cryptic, one sentence kind of guy. That, and like we've talked about this, we all had that guy or person in high school that was like so quiet and never said anything. You're like, oh my god, he's still waters run deep. And like secretly he probably was thinking nothing. But Angel, it turns out that when you get him alone in your bedroom, he starts spouting off compliments. He's like, he tells Buffy she looks pretty even when she's going to sleep. Like, oh, Angel.
Such a good compliment. I just want to be told I'm pretty when I'm sleeping. That's all I want.
And he's a gentleman. He like sleeps offers to sleep. Yeah, on the floor. Because he doesn't
sleep. It doesn't matter to him. He doesn't sleep, right? Yeah.
Correct. That was the twist there. In retrospect, you're just like, oh, he doesn't actually have to, does he?
And I loved this like little girl talk that happens the next day between Buffy and Willow, where they're like, oh my god, he's such a gentleman. He didn't even try to make a move. And nasty ass Xander is like, this is a ploy. He's just a raunchy, horny man like me. This is all he's just doing it to impress you.
It's working. Wow. What, isn't it incredible when you act like a decent human, it actually works? Like, it's not an act because it's actually working. Xander needs to get some advice from Angel instead of knocking him all the time.
That's not how Xander works.
No.
Yeah. But Giles, it has been working hard at work for like 6 hours. He's like, okay, you encountered the three. They're warrior vampires. And he's like,
oh, by their armor.
And Giles says, obviously you're pissing the master off because Daddy Vamps doesn't just send these guys out for nothing. Like, we're going to need to train even harder. So now we know, okay, great. So Buffy's going to have to do some more training. And I have to say, Kevin, I'm pretty impressed with Buffy's like physical abilities. I feel like Giles is being a bit tough on her.
So, I mean, she is pretty, like, she comes tougher, right? Because, like, it's part of the Slayer ability. She's stronger, she's faster, she heals faster, and things like that. But, like, these guys are pretty tough, and the Master's going to be pretty tough. So he's trying to just, you know, make sure she's ready. He has a job. Watch the Slayer. Make sure she does not die. He's the Watcher. And so, like, you know, he's being a little bit hard. Also, I know you girls are very like Daddy Vamps. Daddy Giles over here. Are you like,
oh, people love Giles.
Yes. I am huge Giles fan. Who is obviously in his like uber bookish phase right now, still like of a certain type. And then he never changes from that. But I feel like this actor, also Anthony Stewart Head, definitely gets more distinguished somehow as he gets older. He's in Ted Lasso as well, and he's great in there. But like, yeah, I'm a huge Giles fan, so I'm on team Daddy Giles as opposed to Daddy Vamps over there.
My issue with Giles has just been he's a little like his teachings bore me to tears.
Remember when he complimented the bug teacher and he was like, oh, she has really solid proportions or whatever.
That was funny.
And that's when I swooned. Yeah. When Daddy Giles gives out a really silly bookish compliment, swoon. He had me there.
I love that talking about Daddy Vamps, Mr. Master, he is so kind to Darla that Darla gets to live out her fantasies and kill a bunch of randos. And like, I feel like that's so generous because he could have done it, but he let Darla do it. Which is
and
so
he was like little anointed boy, watch and learn.
Watch and learn.
It's a lesson.
He's a teaching good moment. He's such a good teacher. And I just appreciate everything that he does for us and for his favorites. But Darla gets to kill the three people.
They give their lives because they failed at getting Buffy.
Yep. And that is what I say. It sucks to suck. Yeah. It is training time, which is such a good time. And this closet has so many tools locked up in the sex dungeon closet so many tools. And she wants to learn with the crossbow, but she is not, that is like an advanced thing. So she has to start with the giant sticks. What's the giant sticks called?
Bow staff, yeah.
I think that she should be able to learn with a ranged weapon. Like, first of all, a crossbow comes in handy when you're attacking from range. And like, I just think she should learn to use all the weapons, Giles. Why are you holding out?
Because you had to start off with the quarter staff, and then you work up to the crossbow, Jessica.
Yeah. Crossbows take a lot of aim and like close quarters combat, quicker to learn when you're the slayer. Like, she doesn't have super accuracy. Like, that's not one of her skills. Yeah. So like, if she misses, that could be disastrous for someone else, quite possibly Giles. So I think he's trying to just...
Also, I think that the quarterstaff is so smart because you can have a dual state quarterstaff, spin that shit around and hit somebody like from the left and then hit somebody on the right, and then you kill two vampires. That is amazing.
That's fair, especially because we know Buffy's like a huge fan of the kicky punchy, like acrobatic style of fighting.
Yes.
And she could like easily, okay. We see her do, you know how she loves to do a cartwheel with the stick?
Yes.
As she's like twirling it. There's so much potential.
I feel that she already had training with the quarterstaff because she kind of like knocks it out of the park, and then he says that maybe she is ready for the crossbow.
Yeah, I don't know, Kevin. I feel like Daddy Giles really should have worn a little bit more protective gear when fighting Buffy.
Yeah, I mean, he did his best. Him in that outfit also cracks me up. Like
the helmet thing?
Then like he has to, right? Because like she hits very hard. And so he has to just wear this protection so he doesn't get the shit kicked out of him worse. Which is very funny to me, because she is legitimately just beating on an older man.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But Buffy is like all too happy to get home to Angel. And she brought, I love what she says, I brought you a plateless dinner. It's like a Ziploc baggie of food. Like he's some kind of dog. And
he's not going to eat it anyway, Jessica. It doesn't matter.
No, I know. He only likes blood.
Love a double sleepover moment. Not one sleepover, but two sleepovers? A double sleepover?
Well, that's the thing, I guess, right? We know her mom works at like an art gallery, so I guess she wasn't home, meaning like she wouldn't be hearing him moving around or anything like that. But I mean, and we also find out he hid in the closet when her mom came into her room, which makes sense because he can't see the sunlight. But I also really love this moment, Kevin, where he says that he read a little bit and she sees her diary out and she's like, how dare you read my diary? Especially because we know that she wrote all about him in it.
I mean, it just goes back to that, what you were saying, right, about the gentlemanliness. And like, if you think about it, like, she's probably been around mostly douchey dudes. She's been around Xanders, and I guarantee you Xander would have read her diary. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's such an instinctual thing to just be like, you read my diary, that like it's pulling from real trauma. So like, totally, she would have written about him like a maniac in there and like had a panic moment because like, the wrong guy, which is sadly most guys, absolutely would have done that.
I especially love that she says, you don't even know what I was writing about. Hunk can mean a lot of things. And I didn't say your eyes were penetrating. I said they were bulging.
It's very smooth. I'm not going to lie. I think that is so inconspicuous. He had no idea that was really about her.
And he says that, oh, no, it was your mom who, like, moved your diary. And then I was thinking, well, then Buffy's mom definitely has read her diary.
Yeah, of course.
Well, then Buffy's mom knows that she's a Slayer and she shouldn't be keeping a secret anymore.
That's a good point. If she's written about that in there, then the mom probably has not read that diary.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the mom has respect.
I mean, Joyce, listen, spoiler, Joyce Summers, great mom. So.
Oh, is that her name?
Have they not said it yet? It's Joyce.
They've definitely said Joyce at one point, but like, I don't feel like we've paid enough attention because she hasn't really been a main actor or anything yet.
We don't hang out with moms. Moms are, the mom doesn't do anything for us quite yet.
Not yet, no. But he does, like, we get this, like, a conversation between the two of them where Angel is just like, oh, like, I can't hang out with you because all I could think about is how badly I want to kiss you. And she's like, what? And he's like, oh, I'm older than you. This, like, can't happen. So I have to go. And Buffy asks, how much older? It was, again, like, very, and he doesn't answer, which, again, probably should be, like, a flag in our faces. But they get really, really close to each other and they start kissing. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, Angel pulls away and has freaking vampire face. And in this moment, I was like, oh, this is a dream sequence. Like, Buffy is just, like, daydreaming about kissing him. Like, this isn't actually – I'm so used to these, like, teen dramas, especially from the 90s, pulling these things where it's only a dream and this wasn't actually their first kiss. So that's what I was thinking in this moment. I was, like, shocked when the next scene just continues and she didn't wake up from a dream.
No, that's a very valid point. I think you're right that it would in other stuff she would just wake up because it's like her fantasy of this guy, but then the fear of like, oh, maybe he's a vampire, but they're just like, nah, he a vampire.
Yeah, and he's not only a vampire, Sarah, he just leaps out a window. He's like, ah, ooh, sorry, boom.
So I'm like a little confused what happened here. Was he just like so in his feels that he lost the mask that he puts on, the glamour?
I think it's very True Blood where when they get turned on, like they turn into vampire face. And so he's like, oh, Buffy, you make me so horny. Vampire face. Ah, I gotta go.
Oh, that is very unfortunate. I'm really sorry to hear that when you get hard, you get ugly. That sucks.
Sarah, can we also, we need to talk about this kiss in terms of the chemistry. We love to talk about teenage kisses on our shows.
This is what I'm interested in. Okay. David Boreanaz is a very good kisser. I can tell right away that he is it. Now, I have seen Sarah Michelle Gellar kiss before in Cruel Intentions, and she was an excellent kisser in Cruel Intentions. However, I fear that at this point, she was not experienced at TV kissing yet.
I'm with you.
David Boreanaz picks up a lot of the slack. However, I have hope for her because by the time she gets to Cruel Intentions times, a few years after this, she's like a pro. But I think that she needed the intimacy coach because I'm sorry, but my girlie was dragging this kiss down.
I agree with you. I think she was a little too spastic. I feel like he was giving the right amount of lip movement and head movement. And she was doing the like over the top wild head movement of someone making out on TV.
It was a little awkward. And I was surprised because I was like, oh, this is going to be like the kiss. And he did. He put in work.
Kevin, I have to imagine this was a big moment for like people watching for the first time. Like people are huge. I have to imagine people are like Buffy and Angel shippers, that this was like a very big thing.
Oh yeah, for sure. People were very into the Buffy Angel relationship and like having them make out at this time. And like, you know, apparently at first, right, seemingly get together is exciting. I will say this really though culminates so much of what I like about this show. To your point, Jess, about like the, oh, I thought it was going to be a dream, or like, oh, they're going to get together. It's a great moment. The show, and I will say for the entire series, it's notorious, especially Joss Whedon, talking about the storytelling aspect, obviously a lot of shit stuff for outside of this. But like, famously is so good at twisting things, like taking expectations and curving it. and taking stuff away from you. And I think this does that, right? Like, it's not a dream. He is a vampire. They're going to get together. Well, guess what? Complication. Like, I think it does a really good job of that. So, like, it is this, like, if you're watching it, people are shipping them, and you're just like, yeah, and then this happens. You're like, oh, well, okay, now, this is interesting. And it adds this, like, really cool, interesting layer to it. That said, him being a vampire with a soul just really ups that ante of just like, ship it, you know, like, because you can see the potential.
Well, yeah, and you get Buffy kind of doing this, like, bargaining, Sarah, right, where the next day she's meeting with the crew, and she's like, but can't a vampire be good? Like, why is he being so nice to me? I don't understand. Like, is this part of the master's plan? But Giles says, like, no, they're a demon at the core.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can imagine how confusing this is. Like, she spent the last X amount of years of her life fighting against this. Everything that she knows is that vampires are evil. But then what was he doing? Was this a long con? Like, was he just trying to trick her? Was this some sort of big plan? Like, I would have a lot of the same questions. And then there is this, like, undeniable chemistry between them. What is that as well? And I think that I would probably have a hard time trying to, like, reconcile that in my mind, that this was not, like, gosh, is it a trick? Is it real? Like, what's going on here? Like, vampires are not supposed to be good people. They're supposed to be, what Giles says, demons. So I think that, like, I would really struggle with all of this too, but also, I mean, it's just so hard to resist Angel. I think that, like, I would want to have hope that there's something that, like, I didn't know.
Yeah, and I mean, you can understand Buffy's confusion, because why is he helping her? Why is he her being her, like, guardian angel? We finally get a first look at Angel's apartment, where he very much, like, lives underground. He has, like, a ton of old books. And there's Darla. And oh my God. Okay. If the Angel reveal was huge, which it was, this one was, like, blew my mind, where I'm like, holy shit. Like, Angel and Darla have a past together. And even to the point where Angel's like, oh, the last time I saw you was in a kimono, which is very interesting.
What was that about? Okay. Angel's apartment literally looks like a freaking bachelor pad. It gives me the ick, but that's okay. I can look past that. I really loved the reveal that Darla and Angel were an item at one point in time. We learn later on in the episode that Darla turned him. So this is, like, definitely much bigger than I anticipated. And they used to be, like, really evil meanies back in the day. Giles gives some lore in a little bit. I don't know. They're from an island. I have no clue. Kevin's gonna have to explain this to me, because whenever Giles talks, like, out of reading a book, I'm like glazing over. But this was such a good twist, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I think it was a good payoff, because we've known Darla since episode one, and we've known Angel from episode one or two, one of the early episodes. So for them to have, like, a connected point, and even, like, I mean, he even worked for Daddy Vamps at one point in time and was, like, the most evil vampire of all time for him. And I think that, like, having this background and having, like, this onion unpeel is very, it's very appealing.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I really liked this thing, Kevin, where we find out that, like, they were once kind of partners in crime, where they killed people, right? Like, she talks about them in this earthquake. And I love the moment where she says, like, listen, you're acting like one of them, but you're not one of them. You're one of us. Look at the human blood in your refrigerator. Like, you're one of us. And he's like, not exactly.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, it's an interesting thing. We'll find out more even at the end of this episode, right? But, like, he is still a vampire in physicality. He still has to drink blood, like, to survive. Like, that's a thing he has to do. He still vamps out. So, like, all those things are real. But he is a bit different. But there is this such fascinating shared history with these two. And we get some teases of it. And I'm so deeply curious, too, about, like, what the plan... Like, this is another reason I love this episode. Because, like, what was the plan at the time? like, what did they have in their head about what they wanted to do and like where things were going to go? Because like some of this stuff, like I will say, like there are flashbacks that will happen. And like that note of like the last time I saw you was in a kimono, like that's going to come up. Like, you know, like,
what does that mean? Yeah, exactly.
It's so interesting. Yeah. In that respect. Plus also as a just sucker for lore and like you said, Sarah, just like deeply traumatized characters that I will end up loving. And also like, I have a thing for like evil characters, like note of him and Darla just being an absolute fucking terror across all of Europe is kind of incredible, right? Like
that sounds like fun. Yeah.
It's such an interesting, fascinating, just small nugget here. Right. And like, but it's so interesting and so cool. And again, I'm just trying to like save as much as possible without saying anything further, but like, there's just so much interesting stuff that gets lore dropped. And then even to your point, when Giles comes in and starts saying stuff, there's like more, because we're finding out a lot about a lot of this.
I love that Darla is very much like, if Angel is the angel, like Darla is like the devil on his shoulder being like, come to the dark side. It's so much more fun over here. Like, and I love her kind of twisting the knife even further and being like, go ahead, tell Buffy about the curse. Like, see if that changes her mind. Then we cut to Giles, who starts talking about like, okay, there, you know, I've heard about something. I'd read it in like the diaries of the Watchers before me. And he says that like in 200 years ago in Ireland, there's Angelus. Thank you. I look at it and I'm like, I don't know where to like put the pronunciation, where to put the emphasis. And so he asks like, oh, does he have a tattoo on his right shoulder? And of course, Xander's like, you saw him naked? Me.
Xander, priorities. We're talking about a deadly vampire.
Yeah. But he says that like he left Ireland and he wreaked havoc in Europe for several decades. Then 80 years ago, he came to America, shunned other vampires and lived alone. And there's no record of him hunting here.
Okay, hold on. Yeah. So this man is Irish. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. Yeah.
240 years old.
Yep. He's 240 years. And this is 1997.
Yes.
Yeah, 97 or 98, right?
Yeah.
1997 minus 240. Mm-hmm. 1757.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Pretty old.
Yeah.
He's pretty old. He's like George Washington old.
I will say this. I've mentioned like, you know, flashbacks. He is Irish. And David Boreanaz is very good at a lot of things. That ain't one of them.
That's gonna be fun. Oh, I can't wait.
Listen, it is notorious. It's notoriously one of the hardest accents to do. So
this is such a joke. Why couldn't he be like Greek or something? This man looks like a Greek god, and he's like, oh, this is like old Patty O'Leary over here and Jealous. Like, come on.
But yeah, it's we get Buffy trying to be like, okay, like, but he's good. He didn't try to feed on me. Like, maybe he's actually okay. And they're like, yeah, but he's still a vampire. So, you know, you gotta watch out. And Darla, meanwhile, she's had enough. She's like, stop sending the three daddy vamps. Send me your favorite, Darla. I have a plan. And she says that Angel is going to kill her and come back to the fold. And we hear from Daddy Vamps that Angel was the most vicious creature he's ever met, which says a lot considering he knew Lucas and Darla, and he's Daddy Vamps. This is crazy.
Yep. That's all I can say is yep.
Yeah.
Master's like, okay, but why is he going to kill her if he likes her? And Darla's like, because she's going to try to kill him. Uh-huh. And Master is so pleased with this. He turns to the little kid, Colin, and he's just like, see, this is how a family works together.
That's it.
He is such a family man, which I love. All he wants is for his family to thrive and for him to get up from the underworld. That's it. Once again, all reasonable requests.
You were heading into territory, by the way, with everything you just are saying this, it's just like we're heading into Daddy in the Streets, Master in the Sheets territory, and we are in serious shit with that.
I'm there. I will fully go there.
So funny. Buffy and Willow are like trying to study, but not really, because all Buffy can talk about is Angel. And I have to say, I don't like that Willow likes Xander, very obviously, but I do love that Willow is able to like be like, oh, we're talking boys. Okay, great. Sometimes I dream that Xander will just kiss me. And I'm like, okay, well, at least Willow is like willing to set aside the study for the girl moments, you know?
Willow needs to grow up.
Oh, see, Willow, like, you guys are talking about like the Xanders and the Angels too. For me, it's also very fascinating because I watched this as it was happening. I have rewatched the series like twice after that, the whole thing. I, growing up, was such a Willow person, and I still am. Love Allison Hannigan. I love the character of Willow. And I really liked her, and I didn't like Buffy that much. Like, I wasn't into Buffy.
Are you okay?
No, I wasn't, because like how the turntables have, like, by the second time I rewatched the series, it started to shift. And the most recent watch, I was just like, damn, I'm really into Sarah Michelle Gellar. Like, it is just like that shift, I think, in like as you get older and like where you're like what you're into, I guess.
Yeah.
So like the Sarah Michelle Gellar Slayer attitude and everything, I was like real into more. It was just interesting to see that, like, again, the change in the flip about like, yeah, where that lands.
I know that Willow has to eventually get some edge, and I'm just waiting for that moment. Like,
well, I think we both surmised she's gonna be like a witch or something, isn't that what we guessed? Like, she's gonna get powers eventually or something, I think.
Allegedly.
Oh, that's what I think that's at least what we guessed. I feel like this is a show where, like, at some point during the run, everybody's going to get some sort of powers, even if it is just like an episode like Xander and the hyenas. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone's going to get powers at some point. And it feels like, okay, if Buffy's going to be a Slayer, I feel like Willow, she could graduate to Watcher, but I think Giles is around for the long haul.
Wait, did I tell you that Willow is a Jewish queen?
No, I didn't know this.
Yeah, she's Jewish. She celebrates the Hanukkah.
Wow. I love that for her.
Willow is canonically Jewish.
Yeah. Love it. Maybe she's into Kabbalah. Maybe that's what it is.
There you go. But yeah, Buffy is like, oh, I'm going to have to kill him because I'm a Slayer and he's a vampire and oh, my life sucks. And Darla is being a big old creeper and just listening in on this entire conversation. So she goes to Buffy's house and gets Buffy's mom to invite her inside because she says, I'm just a little schoolgirl and I'm here to tutor. You know what?
She's dressed that way all the time.
Buffy has a lot of tutors.
Buffy's
not very good at school. She failed out. Yeah. She needs it. Yeah. Oh my God. When Joyce backs up and we see Darla's little vampire face in the door window, is so scary. I don't know. Yeah. Like, these vampire makeups, I know, like, people think it's a little cheesy, but I just think it's like terrifying.
Yeah,
to have like Darla just like stare in there with her like little ugly face. Ugh, spooky. Yeah, don't let anybody in. These people, they lived through the 70s. They lived through the Ted Bundy years. Like, you don't invite bitches into your house. Nobody can come in.
But she's a little schoolgirl.
Nobody's allowed in my house. Yeah. No, not one person. That's why, like, as a millennial woman, if the doorbell rings,
you hide.
We run to the bathroom and hide.
Yeah, you hide. That's what I do.
Yeah. So we are not answering anybody or letting anybody into our houses, or else you get Darla, who is delightful in her own right.
Well, she has these cheeky lines. I love all her cheeky lines where she's just like, oh, my family dates back to like the Civil War or the War of Independence. And then when she's like, oh, it was so nice for you to welcome me into your home. And when Joyce asks if she's hungry, she's like, yes.
How bad it would be if Darla was like, yeah, like, my family's from the Civil War era. It's like a bunch of Confederate vampires. The like terrible news.
Yeah, that's a trope I don't love, but exists.
It so exists, heavily. Right? Yeah,
and
right?
I dislike it because, like, Twilight, Jasper fought for the Confederacy.
Oh, I forgot that.
I'm pretty sure that was the thing in True Blood too.
Bill fought for the Bill fought for the Confederacy.
Why are they all racist vampires?
there's a romanticized thing about the Confederacy, especially amongst the people who read vampire fiction, right? Like, so there's like this whole thing with that. I, again, don't like. The one instance I thought was good is similar to like Buffy, where they treat it that all vampires are essentially evil and wicked. There's a scene where it's just a bunch of like the evil vampires and someone's talking to them and they talk about like how old one of them is. And he's just like, well, I fought in the Civil War. And it's just like, what side? And he goes, we lost. And like, it is meant to be like, yeah, he's evil. Like, and I think that is, that works. But okay, like that, your Jaspers who are, you know, and your Bills, it's just like, don't love that.
Yeah, I forgot that Jasper from Twilight was.
That's when he was turned right after.
There.
Yeah, and I, this is also, Angel has terrible timing because he comes in and Darla has already been feeding on Joyce. And then I think this is a I think this is also pretty common with vampires where it's like, okay, if they're horny, they get vampire-y, and if they see blood, right? You see this look on Angel's face, well, like he can hardly resist. The two could
very well be connected.
That's true. But he can hardly resist seeing like a little bit of blood on Joyce's neck. And Darla shoves Joyce's like lifeless body into his hands. And he is like trying so hard to resist like biting her. And of course, this is when Buffy walks in and sees, and she thinks that Angel is the one who sucked her mom's blood. So not great. She throws him out a window, which I'm like, I don't know that that was necessary. You could have shoved him out the door. You know, now you have a broken window and like, are vampires allowed to just climb in your window? Like, do they have to they can't?
It's all like you can't enter even through a window.
I don't know if it was like a cop thing where it's like, oh, the door was open, so I don't have to have a search warrant.
I made that joke in college once where I was just like, cops are like vampires. They can't come in unless invited.
Yeah. So I'm like, but poor
this
Buffy.
This is a fun piece of Buffy trivia. Kevin, what is Buffy's address?
Ooh, that I don't know. I'm talking about what kind of Buffy, like, what's her middle name? I'm like Buffy Ann Summers, obviously.
Oh. 1630 Ravello Drive.
Interesting. They probably say it several times actually in the series. I see. Here's the thing. I'm respectful, so I don't try to memorize a girl's address unless she directly gives it to me.
Fair, you're not invited inside. I don't remember addresses. Yeah.
So Buffy calls the ambulance just as Willow and Xander are arriving, and she's like, "Oh, Angel did this." And when Buffy gets a chance to talk to her mom, she's like, "Oh, your friend came over, and I guess I slipped and cut my neck on a barbecue fork."
That's the only explanation. That makes so much sense. She's so clumsy.
Just the hoops they have to jump through to be like, yeah, that's what happened. Like, poor Joyce.
So funny. It's so funny. It's so silly. Buffy, of course, is blaming herself. She's like, oh, I invited Angel into my house, meaning that's how he had access to my mom. This is all my fault. Like, I had feelings for him, and now I hate him, and I'm going to kill him.
I mean, come on. Like, try to drink her mom as far as
it's fair. Very fair reaction.
Yeah, it's a very unfortunate, wrong place, wrong time sort of situation. So I don't blame Buffy for, at this point, being anti-Angel. Like, she also is probably kicking herself because she trusted him and she was trying to justify, you know, the fact that he's a vampire. And she's probably kicking herself because she usually trusts her instincts. But it's just like such an unfortunate event, and thank goodness that Giles is there, because he was able to press Joyce a little bit and find out that it was Darla that was the friend that came. Thank goodness, because otherwise we would have been so screwed.
Yeah, and also we get Chekhov's crossbow making a reappearance, because Buffy's like, no, I can't just use a simple stake, pulls out the crossbow, and I was like, yes. I don't know why I was so excited about Buffy shooting a crossbow.
A big crossbow girly?
It's in the credits, right? It's in the opening credits. So
I don't know. I just, there was something really exciting to me about like someone, because yes, a stake plunging and then the dusting is great, but it was going to be really exciting to me to like shoot a crossbow and then have the vampire like explode in dust, you know?
You know what? It's your inner D&D character here, because that's you just love any bow and arrow. That's
any
where
bow
it's
and
at.
Arrow will do. And Darla is really taunting Angel at this point in his apartment. She's just like, oh, she's hunting you. She wants to kill you. Of course she doesn't understand. Do you think she was going to look at that hideous vampire face and kiss you? I love Darla maybe. So much.
Okay. Well, I still want to kiss Angel with his ugly vampire face.
The teeth, I think, is where it crosses the line for me. Not the fangs, but the jagged teeth gross me out.
No, I would still do it.
Love it.
And I feel like, and this is also, I think, a common thing with vampire lore and vampires on TV and stuff, is like, I feel like whenever you have their maker, right, like Darla is Angel's maker, there's always like a sexual relationship between them. And I have to imagine that there was in this case as well, that like Darla and Angel were like fucking in pools of blood, like over.
Okay, Europe, I got yeah. You know that they had crazy good sex. Crazy
they're sex vampires.
And good sex.
Yes.
Yeah. Crazy good sex.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
Boy, did they.
You can just tell when two people have that sort of chemistry.
Well, especially when he pushes her up against the wall, she's like, ooh, Angel.
Oh, I love a little bit of pushing up against the wall. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she's like, you're hurting me. She's like smiling as she's saying it.
This is just a Saturday night. Yeah.
Yeah. See, this is what I'm like, yeah. Like, this is the, yep.
Oh, it's so funny. And she, I think I like what Darla is trying to do here, because I feel like we say all the time on reality TV, if you're going to be the villain, revel in it, you know, play in the mud and enjoy it. And that's what Darla wants from Angel. She's like, enjoy it. Live your eternal life. Accept who you are. Kill, feed, live. Like, that's all she wants him to do. And he won't. He has like the moral high ground. Like, okay.
That's what Angel. I think that I do like about Darla is that like she's bad, she knows she's bad, and she just like loves it. And I think that that's really fun to watch from a villain who is just like, I just want to fuck some shit up. And it is like very, very fun. Too bad she's dead.
Yeah, we get this like really epic Buffy Angel fight. Buffy is shooting crossbow bolts. And I was very tickled by
this. Is like what we call like kick, kick, punch, punch time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like how are we supposed to?
It gets better. It gets better though. It does get better to kick, kick, punching.
Yeah. Like we're not going to be like football announcers and announce like every single part of the fight, but there is a crossbow fight and Angel almost gets hit.
He welcomes it.
Her aim's not that good. She should probably just stick with the quarterstaff.
I don't know. A part of me wants to think that she like missed on purpose a little bit. She is new with the crossbow bolt, but I feel like it is trippy when he's like, come on, kill me. Like, come on, why didn't you just kill me when you had the chance? And she's very confused. Like, again, this like reverse psychology is working on her. She's like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? And she admits like, I've killed a lot of vampires, but I've never hated one. And like, now I do, because you attacked my mom.
Yes. Okay. Hold on. This is like such a good speech. Because he's like, What'd he say?
Hold on. You attacked my family, yes, and he killed mine.
I killed their friends and their children. Like, that's rough. And then he says, for 100 years I offered an ugly death to everyone I met. I love how dramatic he is. And I did it with a song in my heart.
Yeah. And this is where we get more lore. So he said, like, what changed for him, he fed on a girl about the same age as Buffy, beautiful and dumb as a post, but a favorite among her clan. She was a gypsy. And the elders conjured the perfect punishment for me. They restored my soul. So Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, but basically what this means is like, normally a vampire has no soul, so they don't have a conscience. They don't care about anything they do. They revel in it. But Angel is now cursed because while he still needs to feed on human blood to live, he now feels everything that he's doing and he has emotion about it. And so he's just tortured by his own actions.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So he was in Romania, I think, or in Russia. And then he perceives this as a curse, which is so ironic because for me, it's like for him to have a soul that seems like a blessing, but in the terms of like the curses with vampires, it's a curse.
So the way that they'll sort of expand on the lore as it goes about vampires, and they kind of really hit it here for the first time, is that when you are turned into your vampire, your soul is essentially gone, and it's your body becomes possessed by like a demon. So like when you see a thing vamp out, like that's almost like the demon face, like showing itself through your body. So what's in there is not really you anymore, technically. It's like this demonic corrupted version of you, whatever you were. So normally in the history of everything, that's it. Like you are now that. But when he killed this Romani girl, her clan cursed him and essentially gave him back his soul. But the problem becomes severalfold, where because he has a soul now, he also has human feelings again. So it's not just that he has to also kill people to survive. It's all the people he killed, which includes his family and, as he mentioned, children. So like he murdered people. He murdered a lot of people over 100 years. And now he has all of those memories, all he can remember what
it's like. So he has to grieve all those deaths he's already done, too.
He has a conscience. That's the best description of it. He has a conscience now. And, like, that is something that it's hard to sit with and know that, like, you did all that. And, like, you're still a vampire. So it's very much like that. Like, if he was just a shithead, it'd be fine. But, like, he's ultimately, you can see, like, he's a good person. And he feels the terrible about all the awful stuff he did.
Yeah. And this isn't like True Blood, where there exists True Blood, which was like a manufactured, like, kind of human blood so that you didn't have to attack humans and take their blood. Like, that does not exist canonically in this world.
Well, it looks like he goes to like the blood bank and steals.
Right.
Yeah, he robs blood banks.
Green flags, I'm telling you, like, it's all green flags.
Yeah, honestly, this makes him more attractive. I'm not gonna lie, this makes
of course it does. Okay. yeah
and like the fact that like the Romani think that this was a curse, this is a gift. He's special. Well, he's a special man.
This is also what cracks me up about the Twilight situation, because like Edward's whole deal is like, he's like, I'm a monster, and Edward only kills bad people. He doesn't have to even drink people because they can drink bear blood and deer blood,
like
vegetarian vampires. But he's just like, I'm a monster, and it's just like, dude, look at, you know what Angel did? Like, that's the, like, Angel, that you could be like, ooh yeah, vampire, being a vampire is not good. Like, you have an interesting situation. But anyone that gets turned into a vampire, that's bad. They do very, very bad things. And like, Angel has to live with a lot of guilt. It just always cracked me up, that comparison between Edward being like, I'm a monster. And
we all know
Angel,
that Edward,
a literal monster.
Yeah. Edward's like a weepy baby, like, little bitch, to be honest with you. He always has been. He always will be.
Anyway. Back to Buffy from Twilight, or Twilight.
Why anyway? Like, what?
Because we have the rest of the episode to talk about.
Well, it's true.
Yeah, sure.
So Buffy, like, finds out that it wasn't Angel that, you know, bit her mom. And so she's like, offers Angel her neck. And this is when Darla comes in. And she talks about how, like, do you know what the saddest thing in the world is? To love someone who used to love you. And Buffy's like, oh my gosh, like, you guys were involved? And we find out for several generations they were involved.
Wow. This
is a long-term relationship.
This is almost as long as my ex relationship. They were together that long. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has baggage. It's okay.
Yeah.
Everyone has baggage.
I have to call out one line. Well, I guess there's like two, but the one that like hit it first was when Darla showed up. She does say that line, do you know what the worst thing is? And Buffy's response to her, like, snap immediately, was, that hair on top of that outfit.
Yes. And
yeah, like a second later, she says something else, and it's just like, right, Buffy was a mean girl. Like before,
yeah, she says, you're looking a little worn around the eyes.
Yeah, she was a mean girl. She was a cheerleader, mean girl before becoming the Slayer. And it's just like, ah, yeah, those are those moments where it shows.
Yeah, she just like connects to that bit of her where she's like full snark and like
I love
a
it.
Bite to it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, like Darla is kind of like an uggo when she turns into a vampire, but she's still HBIC. I think that like Buffy's was definitely bothered to know that Angel and Darla had
definitely
a thing.
Yeah, definitely. And we find out that like it seems like the reason Angel didn't join Darla, like being Daddy Vamp's favorite, is because of Buffy. He says, like, she says, you threw that away because of her. You love someone who hates us. You're sick. I think that's so interesting. And then my favorite part about this is I was very excited about the crossbow. Okay. Like, I was so excited about that. And then Darla just whips out guns. And I was like, shit, we're bringing guns to this fight?
This is so
crossbow
unfair.
To a gunfight.
Yeah. Where did Darla get guns from?
Well, I mean, it's America anywhere.
Yeah.
She got the local Walmart. What am I talking about?
And maybe I'm stupid, but like, okay, so Buffy does take a shot at Darla with the crossbow bolt and she hits her in the abdomen. Does she needs to hit her in the heart for it to be effective? Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you could stake someone anywhere.
No, stake to the heart.
That's unfortunate. Yeah. So she has a slight miss. And this is when Willow and Xander and Giles arrive and they call out like, it was Darla. Rah!
Yeah. We've been new, like freaking useless over here.
Mm-hmm. And then just we get more
fire of actual guns. She's insane that she just pulls out guns.
I loved it. I love especially the Darla sliding backwards on the pool table while shooting the guns. It was so funny to me.
She's like in a Quentin Tarantino movie now. It's ridiculous.
But luckily, Angel is there to save the day as he stakes Darla. She falls to the ground and dusts everywhere.
The level of disrespect to disrespect the person that made you. How dare he?
The way she says to her, she's just like, Angel, like she says it's like confused. And I'm just like, oh man, I love this. This is so good.
Yeah. It's very heroic. And I think like, once again, like, I think that like, especially because Angel has this conscious and like knows that like partially like all of everything that happened to him that was horrible was because of Darla, like, and like he has to live like this because she made him, she turned him. It's like, I mean, this is like years in the making. I'm shocked that like this hasn't happened sooner, and I think that this is what like he needed to like, I don't know, like just close this part of the book. And like also like it's a bit of like a temptation, like she was tempting him to come back to the dark side. So and it's obviously a show of good faith to Buffy that like he is not on Darla's side. He is not on the master's side. So I think it like had to happen in order for them to move forward in any capacity, a working relationship, an actual relationship, a little bit of both.
Yeah. And I love that we immediately cut to Daddy Vamps and his ginormous temper tantrum that his favorite is dead. I love this. And he's just like, he's very upset because he says, oh, to lose her to Angel. Oh, he was supposed to be my right hand man. And this little fucking boy is just like, we'll kill them all.
That child, I can't.
This is why you never trust little kids in these types of movies.
Not wrong.
Yeah.
Just full stop. Don't trust children.
Just don't trust the children.
Yeah.
Little evil shitbag. Okay, so now, hold on. It's not only bad enough that the Bronze has a, like, bring your own bug to kill party. They have another party post fumigation party. This is disgusting. How about like they just have the bronze be like properly cleaned? This would not pass any inspection.
The show is very grungy. Like they love a grunge aesthetic. They love the dark. I feel like 90% of this show takes place in the dark, obviously because vampires don't come out in the light. So I just think they're leaning in.
Yes. But, so, oh my God, this is like my favorite part of the entire episode because she's like dealing with like everything that just happened. And Angel, of course, comes in and they talk and like, they're like, we can't see each other anymore. It's just like, you know, like you're Romeo and I'm Juliet. Like it just would never work out. But then they get like super close. And I think they kiss, do they kiss again? I think they might kiss again. But she's wearing this giant metal cross and it burns a giant like scar on his heart. And he's like, and she says to him, like, does it hurt? And you're thinking like, oh, like, does it hurt the fact that they can't be together anymore? And he's like, yes, it's very painful. But he now has this giant cross scar in his chest. It's very cool. It's very rock and roll. I have to assume
it's going to fade. Like,
no, it's there for life.
Sarah. They're vampires. They heal, don't they?
Like, they don't have, what do you think? They have scar ointment over here? Like,
they don't need it. They're vampires.
They're vampires.
Yeah. Are you Googling? I see her Googling.
It heals. They heal. They heal very quickly.
No.
Kevin has seen the show.
No, wait, is it the show is sponsored by Mederma? Like, no way. That scar would never go away.
I will tell you also that vampires survive and heal from a lot worse than that.
I thought this was like a thing. Like, I thought that he was now branded by like Buffy's cross for like.
It's metaphorical.
You know what?
Well, literal and metaphorical.
Fuck this.
I guess.
Fuck this. I don't like this scene anymore. This is all ruined for me. I'm very upset.
Well, they do get one last kiss, which I think it's a little bit better on Buffy's end this time, but it's still a little over the top in a way that like feels a little forced.
She's very early day. She's trying.
Yeah, she's trying her best.
She needs her intimacy coach.
but that's our episode. I really loved this episode. I really like getting the lore of the show. I think that's like a really fun aspect, knowing that as a big part of the show later on, and we're just in season one. I like the big reveals of we got like a bunch of reveals. Not only is Angel a vampire, but a cursed vampire. And he has a history with Darla. All of that was really exciting. I guess like my one con is that we no longer have Darla, but she could come back in flashback form. We could see her and Angel fucking all their way across Europe. That will be fun. Reveling. Maybe. I can't wait to see an evil Angel. That'll be fun.
Maybe that's just what the show Angel is about. Is it a prequel? Maybe.
I won't say anything about that. I'll just keep I'm gonna keep my mouth shut about any information, because yeah. Any information heads into spoiler territory.
With all due respect, Kevin, every single time I say something I turn away from you so I don't read your reactions. But I do want to say once again, beautiful glasses today.
Thank you.
Now that I'm actually looking at you, you look great. So
It was smart to turn away. I tried my best, but some things I'm just like,
I would
make a face because I had to.
That's the only way. And also for anybody that's concerned about like us like picking up on spoilers, once again, Jessica and I are stupid idiots that have zero memory, and we will not remember anything. So we are unspoilable pretty much. Yeah.
All right, let's get into some feedback that we got. We did get some feedback on this episode. We got an email from Joy. She said, shout out to all the Doctor Who and Smallville references, because she's currently watching both of those shows. So shout out to you too, Kevin. Look at that. She says she's really excited we're watching Buffy because it's one of her all-time favorite shows. And her and her husband rewatch this and Angel yearly, she said.
Ooh.
Which is really interesting. She says it's such a part of pop culture that she's fascinated that we're pretty we're pretty unspoiled on the whole show. Mm-hmm. She said, your suspicions that Angel was an angel and that we'd see his wings was almost as funny as the dueling calculators and knowing the difference between Hostess and Little Debbie's. She says she was shocked though when she originally watched it, so she hopes we were as well. And she said, bye-bye, Darla, who had a short time on the show, but lives on forever because of Julie Benz's portrayal.
Yeah. That was actually my main takeaway, that I thought that the actress that played Darla did a very good job. She's very compelling.
Mm-hmm. She said, Angel might be why she prefers the broody and mysterious guy. He's so dreamy. Hello, salty goodness indeed. She wants us to keep an eye on Cordelia because she says she's a really good arc on the show, which is very interesting to me because I hate Cordelia and her ugly ass outfits right now. she says, the older I get, the more I like Giles. He has some of the best lines and he is a silver fox. She agrees with our takes on Xander. Daddy He's Giles. Her least favorite of the group. Daddy Giles, he's incredible. She says she does prefer Xander over Dawson, which is very fascinating. I feel like that will be interesting to track as well.
Joy,
what's Sophie's choice is this?
And apparently we're going to see 4 or 5 people from Dawson's Creek on here.
Wow.
Ooh, I cannot wait for that.
So many people.
Yeah. She says season 1 is her least favorite season, but it's not bad. It's pretty solid. She says season 2 is her personal favorite. Uh-huh. So that's really exciting.
Season 2 is my personal favorite too.
Ooh, I'm excited. So that was our email from Joy. So thank you so much, Joy, for sending that email in. We also got an email from Linda. She said she feels like Xander made the right decision last episode by saying he didn't remember what happened while he was possessed by the hyenas, because she thinks that he was protecting Willow and Buffy's feelings. So that's really interesting. I felt like it was more of Xander's self-preservation.
Column A, column B, honestly.
Could be either. She said she was really excited for us to see this episode. The way it has brought me so much joy and provided so much laughter listening to you guys discuss Angel being an actual angel. I wish I could have seen your reactions when you found out that not only is he a vampire, but Darla is his ex and his sire. Oh, sire. That's a
sire. I was going to say, like, sire. Actually, there's a word for it in the Buffy.
Yeah. I feel like maybe True Blood is where they said maker, and that's where I got that word from. Because that's just, I feel like the thing that I've seen the most of
in the episode. I wouldn't have picked up Maker from anywhere else. I think that it was in the episode at least.
Maybe it was, yeah.
She said they drop sire as a go-to term later on, but it is it does become like sire becomes the go-to
sire
term
makes
for the
sense.
Buffyverse. Yeah,
we're getting the Buffy lingo. I know that's like a big thing, Buffy speak.
I need a glossary up in here.
I do. Also, I don't know about you, but murdering your ex in front of me is a huge red flag. How are you guys feeling about getting Vamp Angel versus Angel as an actual angel? Are you disappointed we'll never see his wings, or more excited now because of the forbidden love of it all? Keeping it 100, I'm not a Bangle Buffy and Angel Bangle shipper myself. I tend to zone out whenever they have scenes together.
Linda.
Okay, so Sarah, are you disappointed that Angel is not an actual angel?
I'm so rarely correct in my life that I'm not surprised that I'm wrong. It's a little disheartening to realize that I know nothing, but, am I disappointed? No, because like it was a really interesting and cool twist, and in a way he still is, her guardian angel because he's always popping in trying to save her. But I mean, like, yeah, like it would have been really cool if I was like, I'm right. Like I got this right this whole time, but then everybody would have thought that I cheated. So, yeah,
I kind of like this better because obviously the forbidden love aspect, but also I like that he's not just a normal vampire. He's not a normal vampire. He's a cool vampire. He's a vampire with soul. So I like that aspect of it. I think it definitely makes things more interesting between Buffy and Angel and Buffy's relationship with vampires in general.
I cannot see myself like not shipping Bangle. Because I just love the vibes.
What are the other options currently? Like not her and Xander. So like it's like that's really our only option currently. I'm sure we'll get more later.
No, but Buffy's an independent woman. She doesn't need no man.
Also that.
Also, yeah, you know, not terrible, I suppose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
We also got an email from David. He says, this is an episode. There are episodes like this that stand a little taller than the rest and advance the characters, their relationships, and the plot all forward. To put it in D&D terms, this episode levels everything up, which I would agree. I feel like this is my favorite episode so far. I've loved a lot of episodes, but this one I felt like is really the best one so far. He says it also goes a long way towards showing why we used to call the anointed the annoying one back in the day. That is so funny.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything because I didn't know your opinions on the anointed one, but we called him the annoying one.
I mean, he's a little shit. Like, I mean, yeah. Honestly, you put a little kid on my television screen, like, a 70% chance I'm not going to like them.
Also, not every kid is going to be like a Dakota Fanning or a Haley Joel Osment. It's just like, you're going to get what you get. Yes. And unfortunately, you know.
Yeah. Those Fanning girls can act themselves out of anything. They're both of them are so
good.
Talented.
So good.
Yeah. David also says that the annual fumigation party at the Bronze makes him think that this is why the Bronze has to cater to underage patrons because they can't buy alcohol and it keeps away the real paying customers.
Probably. They're like, oh, these kids don't care about the bugs. It's disgusting. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. So gross.
Yeah. He also says that, like, he really likes the way that they did the reveal for Angel. So, like, first we get the reveal that he's the vampire, and then later in the episode we get, oh, he's a vampire with a soul. And that is, like, very, very interesting. Of course, he also mentions the idea that he's tortured by the guilt for what he did previously. And he says, like, he thinks that David Boreanaz is proving that he's more than just a pretty face, and that's why Angel got his own show, which I can kind of see that. Like, to be fair, prior to this episode, Angel was literally just one-liner cryptic guy. Like, this is the episode that really gives him I don't want to say a personality, because I don't think he has a big personality yet, but, like, you know, more of a backstory.
I mean, yeah, it's hard to develop a personality with just, like, the few times he's getting there, but this definitely helps propel it in the right direction. Also, on a on David Boreanaz, that man works. That man has been on TV since 1997.
Yeah, Bones, right? That's Bones.
Because he went from Buffy to Bones to SWAT. Like, he has been on TV nonstop since 1997.
Yeah. This is fair. David also wants to shout out Darla and her plan to go guns akimbo on Buffy. That's how you counter a crossbow, I guess.
So
and
wild.
He's so right, because he says it isn't something you expect from a vampire, which is what I liked, because I was like, holy shit, she's just whipping out guns. This is great. But yeah, he's really excited that we got to this point and can't wait to hear us talk about it. So thanks so much for sending in feedback, David, and everybody else. This episode was so much fun. Kevin, I'm so happy that you chose this one to come on for.
I'm so glad I got it, because I was just like, okay, there's a few I want. This is the number one I wanted this season, and so I'm so happy I got on for it. It's just such a great episode. And, like, yeah, knowing now that you guys didn't know, and, like, there's stuff you don't know at all, it's really exciting, because it really does set into play a lot of things that I think are going to be big in the series, because it does a lot of vampire lore as well that'll play out throughout. And it's just, yeah, it's really good stuff. And I'm so pumped for you all to go through this journey for the first time.
Yeah. Sarah, do you want to know what next week's episode is titled? We always play this game at the end of every episode.
Yeah, of course. I would love to know.
It is I, Robot, You, Jane. It's like very Tarzan, right? Like I, Tarzan, You, Jane.
Well, I, Robot is at the very least a movie.
Well, it's a show too, but it came out after this, so.
Probably a comic book. I don't know. So that's I don't know. Are we getting robots? I love robots. I'm a big robot girly.
We got an episode called The Pack with the Werewolves. I don't know. We might not get any robots. Just saying.
If it's robots, then I'm into it. I love robots. Hold on. This is my thing about robots. I just want to say that I respect all robots, because when they take over, I don't want them to go against me.
True.
So I love
robots. For them to pull this clip and know that you're with them.
I've been saying for years I'm with them. I don't want them to fuck with me.
Kevin, thank you so much again for coming on. Any final thoughts, and where can people find you if they want to see what else you're up to?
Final thoughts. I mean, I truly, truly, again, love this show. I think it's influenced me in terms of storytelling and writing so much. I think it's so brilliantly executed in terms of the character development, character arcs, just this type of idea of taking the supernatural and blending it with, like, real life. The show is especially brilliant at taking moments that are very teenagey and making them real and comparative to like the stuff you're battling, which I think is very, very interesting. The nightmares, of course, of stuff like this, of like, you know, the guy you're interested in and like what your job, like there's just so much here that plays into that. So I think it's just so clever. And also the bad guys are all unique. Like the Master is great, but there are some great villains throughout the series. I think they're all very unique. And like Darla, I think almost every villain revels in just I'm bad. And I kind of love that because they have a good time with it. It's not just like mustache twirling evil. It's like a very evil. So yeah, I truly love the show. I hope I get to come back for more episodes in season two, because I would love to like keep talking about this stuff forever. But yeah, as for where people can find me, I mean, I'm places. I do things, I guess. If you want to find me on Instagram, I'm the Mahadman. On Twitter, I'm Kev Mahadeo, I guess. I'm not really on Twitter much anymore. That's really it. For now, I guess.
Sarah, what about you? Where can people find you?
You can find me at Sarah Ferguson. I'm not doing that much as well, really. I mean, I'm doing Felicity and I'm doing Buffy, and we're covering Never Been Kissed this week for Rom-Com Feb. The movie. Yes.
I can't wait to trash it, Kevin. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess.
I'm
for sure.
I'm going to be having to put on my boxing gloves, because I watched it and I don't know if I have a problem with it. Maybe it's because, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, who cares, really? Love is love.
Like, Sarah, he thought she was in high school.
17.
He was a teacher.
Yeah.
And that was his student.
Yeah, but I also come from the world of Pretty Little Liars, and I heard that Ezra and Arya, it was okay that they were together.
No, it wasn't. Okay, that's an argument for another day. You can find the podcast at Shit 90s Pod. You can find me at The Jess Sterling. Buffy podcasts come out every Thursday, and Felicity podcasts come out most Mondays when I don't accidentally lose the audio like I did last week. So apologies for that.
Stop beating yourself up. It's fine.
I know. It's just been the first time I ever lost a podcast in 3.5 years, and it broke my heart. But it's okay. We move on. Next week is iRobot You, Jane. We are continuing on our Guestapalooza, and we will have another guest on next week with us. But thank you all for listening. And hold on. I got to find what I'm supposed to say. Here we go. Okay. Are you ready? To end the podcast, here endeth the list.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.